Come on, go live. Welcome to the Sutliffian Report. Today's going to be a game night. I need a little break from constantly harping on things. So we're going to talk on a wide variety of things by playing a game. So if you're listening and you want to take part, I put the StreamYard link in YouTube. Please come to the YouTube page and you can just follow the StreamYard link and you can join us live. I have at least 5 slots for people to join and be active in the game. What's cool about this game is a game that educators use to teach the kids review for a test. This is what I've used for a long time and handed out to many other teachers. And we'll have some fun. But this is a Christian news show, and not necessarily newsy today, but today I want to get into the Word of God first, as we usually do. Matthew 13, 1 to 9, and you're going to hear maybe a slightly different take on this. Matthew 13, 1 to 9. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon the stony places, where they had not much earth, and they sprung up. Forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. So guess what? They're not springing up. Okay, they're dying because they don't have a place to put their roots. When the sun's up, they scorch because they had no root and they wither away. Some fell away among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, and some unto hundredfold and some sixtyfold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. So this is my take on it. Jesus taught the large crowds using what communicates and what is easily remembered. He used stories. People share stories all the time. Stories such as parables communicate important messages. They guide us in things we should do and things we should avoid. Any farmer reading this probably cringes at the thought of wasted seed, but if you're not a farmer and hear this story, it communicates to anyone who likes money or those who hate losing it. When you put seed down, no one wants to watch birds eat the seed you put to plant. That's like throwing money away. This message also speaks of a lack of care in farming. If seed falls in a stony place, or if you didn't care enough and you didn't make sure there wasn't weeds, you can start thinking about it, Or if you put, you know, let stuff fall in a stony place. Think about that. What kind of care is there in this farming? Now, I mention that because here's the thing I think about. If you only heard this part of the story, when Jesus talks about this seed that falls into the good soil, he speaks of care taken to place that seed there. Think about it. It's in the place it's needed. The seed is unusual. Again, this seed is not on top of the soil. It's in the soil. That's what I think is interesting. And again, this seed is unusual. It's special and something no one should be careless of. Why? Because it has the ability to bring forth fruit 30 to 100 times more. The specialness of the seed, everyone, this story is really about the seed. You might think from the story it's about the sower. But once you hear about the ability of the seed, you understand it's special. So what is this seed? Jesus never told the masses. He never clarified this story to the masses. That's all they got to hear. Think about this little story with a meaning that can be found out. What would you have done with just these words? Would you have thought about it? You probably would have said to yourself, I'm going to make sure that that seed's in good soil. What is that seed? Remember, that he didn't tell anybody. But he did tell them it could multiply. Think about it. So tomorrow, if you're in my daily devotional thing, which you're welcome to do, all you have to do is send me an email at BERean_research@yahoo.com, and you could be in on the next one. Tomorrow's message will be a little longer, just to warn people, because it's usually maybe 10 verses at the most, and this tomorrow's is going to be close to 20. This is an exciting, so I'm going to be sharing with you this screen of Jeopardy. Now, we'll see, I've got to go back to this screen so I can see everybody. Here we go. And we're still hoping people will join us. I see Darcy here. Anybody else that wants to join us, please do. Now, I put this together for anybody who wants to join, and we'll have some fun. All right. And here we go. I'm just going to share the screen up here. And I've got to put that up first, too. Okay. All right. The joy of trying to do everything in order, and I'm still working on getting that part done. All right. Here we go. Share. And here we go. F5. There we go. Well, there was sound one the first time I did it. All right. So this is where the characters are, and we'll keep score. And I can't be in there. So Darcy, which character would you like to be?
Probably go for Ruth.
All right.
The first teammate.
Okay. So we're going to put Darcy right there. And all right. Here we go. And let's see. This at least dings like it's supposed to. I'm not hearing any of the sounds. This is driving me nuts. All right, so go ahead and you pick one to start us off, Darcy.
The law doesn't know for 100, Alex.
Alex doesn't know. Hey, we got a sound. There we go. So blood, clot, wet earth, dust, and sperm. So what doesn't Allah know?
What is the creation of man?
That's $100 for you, Darcy. Excellent. Yes, Allah doesn't seem to remember how he created man. I think that's funny. I mean, if you're going to claim that you are the creator, don't you think you would remember how you created man? You know, I look at that and I keep laughing about that one. How could you not know how much I mean, how could you not know what, I mean, what it took to create man? And this is simply because Allah doesn't know. Allah does not know. Let me just go back and see if there's anybody in the room. I have to keep coming back. Again, please join us if you're listening. Please join us live. You can just come in to the StreamYard link is there. Please do come join us. If you're on Facebook, come to the YouTube link. You go to YouTube, go to the Svetlifyan Report, and you can come join us. Today's just a fun day. We're going to go through some of the silliness of what Islam is. All right, let's keep going here. Okay. So we've got Allah doesn't know 100 already gone. Well, you're up again, Darcy.
That's right. Islamic science for 100, please.
All right. The Quran is Allah's voice. Thus, Allah declared that life came from this.
What is the word?
And the answer, let me just pull up my... Oh, this is a problem with... I need like another screen. All right. Okay. It's actually water. He said in Quran 21:30, this is the problem with this creation story. He keeps changing the story. So Allah claims that people come from water. Quran 21:30. Or have not those who became infidels seen that the heavens and the earth were a solid mass? So we parted them, and we made every living thing from the water. Do they not believe? Oh, and when I laugh at this, it's because Allah doesn't know that humans are made of mostly, I mean, it's carbon. There's a good percentage of water in there. That's the issue. It's not, we're not really made of water. It's carbon. Carbon's what we're mainly composed of. But Allah doesn't know. You know, again, we have this sadness. Allah doesn't know. All right. Let me come back here and I'll put another 100 in there for you, Darcy. Come on, people. Come join us. We got this going. All right.
Yeah, well, you can do some yourself.
Oh, I'll pick one. All right. Let's see. It's in the Quran for 100. So, yeah, so go to the next page. It's in the Quran. Oops, sorry. And that would be it. This animal is yellow and has never been seen anywhere on earth. Allah had to repeatedly tell people what it is. Do you know what I'm talking about, Darcy?
Well, the only thing I can think of is camel. I don't know.
Believe it or not, the second chapter of the Quran is called the cow. And this is all about a yellow cow. And I have yet to see a yellow cow. And I thought this was hilarious. you have to read quite a long ways in before you find anything on the cow. So the Quran 2:67, it says, and when Moses said to his people, surely Allah commands you to slaughter a cow. They said, do you take us as a scoff? I think he's saying as fools is what I think they really mean. He said, I seek refuge from Allah that I be of the foolish. And they said, call on your Lord for us that he would inform us what it is. Okay, they don't know what it is. And Allah's saying, surely it's a cow, neither old nor young between the two. So do what you are commanded. They said, call on your Lord for he would inform us what is its color. Okay, they can't understand what this thing is. They can't even figure out what its color is. Surely she is a yellow cow. Bright. So this is a bright yellow cow. So I actually had to go looking for a bright yellow cow. One of the only pictures I could find of a bright yellow cow. As you can see, it's a form. You know, I have to laugh about this one. Well, yeah, well, that's, you know, but in his perspective, that cow is alive. And
I know.
That's Allah just, does. I mean, this could be an Allah doesn't know, but it's in the Quran, people. Your Quran is so strange that it does, your Allah doesn't know that the yellow, I mean, again, I'm waiting to see a bright yellow cow. I haven't seen one. I mean, I don't know, Darcy, have you ever worked on a farm? Okay, have you ever seen, okay, yeah, did you ever see a bright yellow cow?
No.
I worked on a farm very briefly, and I never saw a bright yellow cow. You know, those are the things that just make you laugh. How is it possible you can have a bright yellow cow? All right.
Very, very vivid imagination.
Yeah. All right. Okay, let me just check and see if there's anybody else in the room. I got to come back and take a look and get back here. Okay, still looking. Again, nobody, it's not a good day for listeners, I guess. All right, so here we go. Your pick, Darcy.
A lot doesn't know for 200.
Allah doesn't know for 200. All right. The cave where men slept. Do you know what Allah doesn't know about that?
I know it. You know, I can't think of the words. Oh, my gosh.
So this one makes me laugh because I think it's Osama covered it, and I've actually heard Kufar cover this. And then I've heard Eric talk about it. So this one makes me laugh a lot. You know, when I hear everybody harping on the same thing, and it's usually within the same week, which really makes me laugh. You know, there's this cave where men slept, and Allah doesn't know how many slept in the cave. In the Quran, Surah 18:22, it says, they will say three, their dog is their fourth. And they say five, their dog is their sixth. Hey, dragon, come join us. Come join us. We'll save a spot here for you. We're playing a game of Jeopardy. We could use somebody else to play. Please do. This is, I mean, I looking at this, if Allah doesn't know how many people slept in the cave, I mean, isn't this a passage? This is one of the only verses in the Quran. No, it's not that does this, but this is a passage in the Quran where Allah basically says, I don't know. Because he just said, he starts out, they, three. And then he says, five. Yeah, so how many sleep? How many slept in the cave? Three, five, seven. My Lord knows best their number. No one knows them except a few. Did Allah tell you how many slept in the cave? It doesn't sound like he knows. So do not dispute in them, in their number, except for the reference to that which appeared. In what does that say about Allah? Hey, Dragon, thank you for your kindness. All right, let's go back, and here we go. We are on to, I like the Allah doesn't know. Those things, putting them together just made me laugh. All right, we are on to the next one. Here we go. All right, go ahead. You pick, okay, so I'll pick this time. Hijra for 100. All right. Who left his wife and daughters behind in the Hijra? Now, this is the Hijra to when Muhammad leaves Mecca. Who left his wife and daughters behind? No, it's not going to be Muhammad at this point. So he's excluded. Think about who's left.
Lot, who was
Lot? No, this is Muhammad. So we're talking about Muhammad's day. So who left his wife and daughters behind in the Hijra? Oh, this is what kills. I read this story about five or six times because, you know, when you're a father, your job is to provide for your family. That means, you know, you work four jobs if you have to. In my case, I actually did that at one point. I worked four jobs at one point. And, you know, let's see, I was I was a paraprofessional, which is another word for teacher aide. I was I worked as a cook for Friendly's, and I was a graduate assistant. And my non-paying job is I was running a Christian news service. So that's four jobs. Did it pay the bills? No. But this guy, Abu Bakr, you know, he knows that Muhammad's about to leave town. He's got everybody else to leave. So what does Abu Bakr do? He gets his camels ready. Has he got one for each of his children and his wife? No. He's only got two camels ready to go. He's ready. One's for Muhammad, one's for him. He's got his money ready to go. All of it. Not a penny left. And his daughters talk about that, and that's in the Sirah al-Rasul. Can you imagine leaving your daughters behind and your wife behind or spouse behind without even a penny? How are they supposed to feed themselves? And this guy was considered a rightly guided caliph, but yet he was okay with his daughter being married off at the age of six and bedded by nine. And yet this guy, I mean, this is just the stuff that makes me, and this is somebody they considered moral. He would leave his wife and children behind. They had to come later. Ugh, not a nice guy. Oh, and if you look at it this way, I mean, this is the girl that's going to be married to Muhammad. Was he very good to his someone he was thinking about marrying, even though she was a child? kind of gross when you think about it. Okay. All right, now we're back to... All right, your turn.
The law doesn't know for 300.
All right, Allah doesn't know for 300. Here we go. Allah claims he has no son because he has no sexual partner. The Quran says, the inventor of heaven and the earth, how can he have a son when he has no female companion? And he created everything, and he is the knower of all things. Let me just double check something here and give you a clue as to what we're looking for. So what doesn't Allah know if he claims he has no son because he has no sexual partner? What does that tell you he doesn't know?
Yeah, he doesn't know he has three daughters, for one.
That's, well, basically, so Allah must have had sex partners to have the three daughters. That says something.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, we know that because the God Allah is actually a God that precedes Muhammad. It's not like he's a new God. So he was an idol. And he was feminine, if I remember correctly. But does Allah understand what Christians believe when he's talking about having sex? So he thinks, and that's what it comes down to. The answer is Allah doesn't know what Christians, and I got to go back. Sorry about that.
Okay,
so Allah doesn't know what Christians believe. So the reason I put this picture here is you see the person on the left, that's supposed to be an angel. And the Catholics believe, you know, they actually have this, a little bit of mythology with this. Allah doesn't know that Catholics, let's say in particular Catholics, and it's a Christian tradition, that from the moment the angel told Mary those words, you know, that you're going to have a son, that is when she conceived, when those words touched her ear. So you'll see Catholic art where the words are coming out of the angel's mouth and touching her ear. And that, you know, it's said that is how, you know, when the moment she conceived, because she had faith. And, you know, that just makes people think. All right. And we'll go back to the score. All right. And I'll double check one more time, see if anybody else wants to join us. No. Okay. Dragon, if you want to come, please do. All right. And here we go. One more. Going on to the next. All right. So I'm going to pick, it's in the Quran for 200. Allah changed his mind or told Muhammad contradictory things. In order for Allah's followers to decide which one to follow, Allah created. Anyone know that one? Come back and take a look. And Dragon, do you have a clue? Allah changed his mind or told Muhammad contradictory things. In order for Allah's followers to decide which one to follow of the things he said, how do you know what to do? He had to create something. Which direction do you follow if he contradicts himself? How do you find that out? I know you know this one, Darcy.
I do. I'll have to do a lot more reading.
So Allah says something, and then he says something else later, and that just says everything he said is wrong, you know, before is either wrong, or he's changed his mind, or and this one. Let's see, Dragon, do you have a clue? It's actually simple. It's a simple answer. It's abrogation. Yeah, and you know when this is one of those things that made me. I knew you knew it. This is one of those things that made me wonder why people actually believe the Quran. If Allah if he contradicts himself so much, he has to create a way for people to understand what he writes. I mean, those are things that just make me say, go, what, why did you do that? And here it's from Quran 2. This is from the chapter of the cow. Whatever verse we abrogate or cause it to be forgotten. So, you know, here we have, we have it in print in the Quran that there are verses in the Quran that are forgotten. Wait a minute.
Sounds like corruption to me.
Yeah. So it doesn't sound like you can trust the Quran because there are pieces missing. Do you now not know that Allah has might over all things? Doesn't that make, I mean, again, abrogation. I mean, abrogation. What kind of a God is this that has to create a word or a terminology to fix his mistakes? that's why it was created. This is where it just makes me. What kind of a God has to be fixed?
He shouldn't be able to make mistakes.
Well, if he's a really small God, that's the only. I don't have another answer for that. He's got to be a really, really, really small God to have to make, you know, those kind of mistakes. And here we
go.
Well, that could be it. Maybe Allah has dementia. Okay, you go ahead and pick, Darcy. Or you know what, Dragon, would you like to pick one? Go ahead and pick. Allah changes his mind. Okay, yeah. So pick one. Pick a category, Dragon, if you don't want to join us, and we'll give a shot at it. So we have, it is in the Quran, Dawah Insanity, Islamic Science, Hijra, or Allah Doesn't Know. Yeah, right. Yeah, Allah said he'll give you better or similar. That's exactly right. He can't figure it out. This is where I laugh about abrogation. And then when you realize you have to go with the last thing, you're stuck with Surah 9. Allah doesn't know. So we have the 400 and the 500 left. Which one do you want? And I'm waiting, so I'm just going to pick the 400. Okay.
400.
Okay. It says, this is Quran 6:84-86. It tells us that what Allah doesn't know. And we granted to him Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Both we guided, and listen real close here. You might want to reread it a couple times. All right. And we granted to him Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Both we guided, And Noah we guided before and among his descendants, David and Solomon and Job and Joseph and Moses and Aaron. And likewise, we rewarded the doers of good and Zacharias and Yahya, John the Baptist, and Isa and Elias, Elijah, all were from the good. And Ishmael and Elisha and Eunice and Lot. And we preferred all those above the world. And among their fathers and their descendants and their brethren, and we chose them and guided them into a straight way. What's wrong with this verse? The thing you got to think about. What is Allah telling us he doesn't know? Because there's something severely wrong with this verse. You know, and we were going through the Quran and dissecting the Quran. It hit me because my sister, as bright as she is, she has problems with this thing. So if there's a learning disability she had, it would be this particular problem. So maybe Allah has a learning disability. I don't know. So dragon. I'm going to read it one more time. Yeah. Okay. And we granted to him. Again, listen closely and you'll see what is wrong with this verse. You'll see there's something severely wrong. And we granted to him Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Both we guided, and Noah we guided before and among his descendants. David and Solomon, and Job and Joseph, and Moses and Aaron. And likewise, we reward the doers of good. And Zacharias, and Yahya, who was John the Baptist, and Isa, and Elijah, and all were from the good. And Ishmael, and Elias, which is Elisha, and Eunice, and Lot. And we preferred all those above the worlds. And among their fathers and the descendants and their brethren, we chose them and guided them into a straight way. Yes. So this is where it gets funny. And I picked this out and I noticed it because I'm a special ed teacher. So part of my job as a retired, when I was special ed, is to look at learning disabilities and be able to see. So, yeah. I'm looking at Allah's learning disability. What did Allah get wrong here? Think about it. What is in this passage that Allah got wrong? So we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Is that the correct order? Take a look. We have Abraham has Isaac. Isaac has Jacob. Okay, so that's right. Did Noah come along before Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So he says he only got before, okay. All right. Okay. Among his descendants. Now we're to David and Solomon. And then Job and Joseph. Does Allah know chronological order?
No.
And that's, you know, and this is where I'm laughing when I think about it, because, again, that's that special ed person who's supposed to diagnose learning disabilities. You know, you find little things. And this is one of those things I look at. Okay, either Mo, Abdul, whoever, who wrote this, didn't have a concept of chronological order, or they just didn't have the ability. Now, I have a sister who this was her big issue when she was in elementary school. They would write my parents, and I'd sit there and try and help her to get it. And I still remember chronological order being her thing. She's smart as a whip. But this is the one thing she couldn't do. That says something when Allah doesn't know chronological order. Oops, going back. Allah doesn't know chronological order of those mentioned in these verses. That just... It should make you laugh. Allah doesn't know. And he can't even fix it. Oh, come join us, Connie. He can't even fix it. That's the funny thing. That says something about Allah in the Quran. Okay. So we're down. 400 is gone. And go ahead, Darcy, you can pick her. Oh, you know what, Connie, if you want to join us, great. Darcy, go ahead and pick. What's the next one for you?
Allah doesn't know for 500.
Allah, okay. Allah doesn't know for 500. Okay, the creation story. And so you've already answered a question about the creation story, and I want you to think about your answer. So here's what I'm going to say. This has to do with time.
Okay.
So, oh, yes, here we go. Connie's here. Thank you for joining us. So the creation story, Connie, do you know what Allah doesn't know that has to do with time? All right. And here we go. Sure, you sure you don't know, Darcy? All right. Allah doesn't know.
I don't get the question.
Okay. So the creation story. Allah didn't know how many days it creation took. One place he says it takes 6 days. Another day, place he says it takes 8 days. So if Allah doesn't know how long creation is he our creator? Creator. He can't be a creator if he doesn't know. This is where I think it's.
Right. He's now confused.
This is a very, very small God who can't, I mean, he proclaims himself to be bigger than he is. That's what it sounds like. And this is all on Allah. Allah doesn't know. Oh, and the one phrase that appears in the Quran over and over again, it's all because Allah doesn't know. And Usama calls Allah this, the God of perhaps. Allah does, I mean, because he says it over and over again. He's always saying, Allah is always saying perhaps. If you read the Quran, you'll see that. And, you know, if God is saying perhaps, he just doesn't know. So that's the issue.
Yeah. Yeah. He is a very inconsistent God.
Well, you have to sit there and wonder, again, how small can a God be when you don't know some of these things? You don't know how many days creation was. I mean, there's a lot of this humor coming in. Okay, let's go on. And we'll come back. Connie, why don't you pick one? Allah doesn't know is completed. We just finished that one. Oh, there's a lot of the other ones. So
Islamic science for 300.
Islamic science for 300. Here we go. The Quran's creation story has a science problem with the moon. Do you know what that is?
Well, the Muslims say it was split, but it wasn't. Are you talking about the moon? The moon chapter? It was cut asunder or something like that.
And no, I'm not talking about it being cut. But it does have to do with the moon. This does have to do with the moon.
I don't know.
All right, so this made me laugh. According to the Quran, the moon is a light. And he set the moon in their midst for light. And he made the...
That's a good question. That's a good one.
So Allah doesn't know that the moon reflects light.
The sun.
Yes. And that's, again, we have a small God pretending he's bigger. So, I think I have.
Now, do I get at least we'll give.
Well, you got the moon part, but the moon was in the question. So, yeah, I can't give that one to you. All right. So, I think I put this here. I can't remember why I put that there. All right. Don't remember why I put that there. It's pretty bad. I went back and put some things in order in a certain way, but I can't remember why. All right, let's go back. And so that one's done. And we will – I have to keep coming back and getting into PowerPoint, out of PowerPoint, so I can play this game. All right, here we go. We're going on. Dragon says, and Alice said, and – hold it and get the mouse in the right spot. Excuse me. And joy of having two screens, but trying to get it. Allah said be, and it was, and why he say that he gave Adam wife Eve. Okay, there's no place that Eve is actually mentioned that I if I remember correctly in the Quran. when, say, he stroke his left shoulder and out of it become black descendants. And he, yeah, yes. Oh, you picked a topic to talk about that's on the next page, on the next questions I have, because racism is one of them. All right. So, Dragon, did you want to pick a topic? All right. We have, all right, I'll give her a few seconds to respond. Okay.
Hey,
pick one. How about Hijra for 200? Okay. So Hijra for 200. Oh, so here we go. Hijra for 200. Name one verse in the Quran that speaks of the Hijra before the jihad. Does anybody know any of those verses? That Hijra comes before a jihad. Now, what's happening in Europe? We have a Hijra before a... Oh,
yeah,
okay.
They migrate, that's the Hijra.
Okay.
And then they work jihad.
Yeah. So in the Quran, there are many verses, and I only picked four. So, Kanye, I know I said it first. I'm just going to... I'll give you 200 for that. All right. Surely, those who believed and those who emigrated and performed jihad, that's Surah 218. Surah 872, surely those who believed and those who emigrated and performed jihad with their money and their lives for the sake of Allah and those who gave asylum. Surah 874, this is the crazy thing about repetition. It's word for word. And those who believed and emigrated and performed jihad. I mean, don't you think this is reason not to allow people to come to your country because their goal is jihad? When they get so many people, I mean, when I read this, I started to ask my question. First time I read this, I was reading, this is before I even thought about going to Europe and looking into things. And I think it's Sam Solomon wrote a book on the Hijra, and somebody had told me, recommended it to me, and I picked it up, and I was just floored. I mean, and then I looked at Usama Dakdat's translation of those verses, and I was floored even more. Because this is problematic. Any national security expert from any country who claims they don't know this is not doing his job. That's how I mean, they're not protecting you. Okay. All right. Sorry, Dragon, I didn't realize the print was so small for you. Okay. We are done with column five, so we are... I'll give you a chance again. All right, let me just get back. And I said I'd give Connie. All right, so Connie, which one would you like to be here?
Oh, goodness. yeah, caveman there in the far back.
All right, so
five.
Hold on a second. All right. And... And we just go back up. There we go. And this is the joy. I'm flipping between basically three screens, but I only have two. So that's where it gets a little difficult. All right. And all right. So let me read the categories to you again, and that'll give you a chance to do this. And get them up.
I can put them in chat.
Okay. Okay. So we have what's left is it's in the Quran, Dawah Insanity, Islamic Science, and Hijra. So we have left. The only one that's totally left is Dawah Insanity. Hijra 100 and 200. So we have 200, 400, and 500 in Hijra. We have Islamic Science, 200, 400, 500. And it's in the Quran. We have 300, 400, 500 left. I've got to create another.
Are you talking to me there?
No, I'm telling everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Because the biggest problem I had with this game, when again, it's called a PowerPoint game. I was trying to create a way to show that it's been something's been used before, and I did that with another one, but I did not come back and fix this one. I didn't have the time. I didn't I just figured I print it off and X it off what I use. All right.
No, she asked for Hishra 500.
Thank you for catching that, Darcy. All right. When followers of Islam are in Darul Harb and they are not allowed to worship Allah, what must they do? This is actually, if you're a follower of Islam, you're in Darul Harb, which is the land of constant warfare, and you're not allowed, if they're not allowed to worship Allah, what are they required to do? This is a mandate. Hello, Pastor Frank. Thank you for joining us.
Nigger.
Apparently, we have ignorance in the hallway. You know, I call that ignorance, just plain. We'll try James. You going to join us? Okay. Some people just need to be banned. Sad. Huh. You know, it's not like they have much intelligence. They're just showing us how little they actually have in the ability to communicate. Anybody who uses small language like that, it just shows that they don't have much ability. All right. So when followers of Islam are, this is a simple one. What must they do? This is where it's funny. So if they were here in America and they weren't allowed to worship Allah, what would they have to do? They'd have to start a hijra. Hijra just means immigration. They'd have to emigrate to an Islamic country. So they couldn't stay here. They'd have to leave. So the minute you start closing mosques, and this is where, you know, I've been watching some countries, because Germany started to close mosques at one point. France has closed some mosques. England, not so much. Which ones have they closed? The ones where they have found terrorists. Oh, they have found certain places where they endorse terrorism openly. In a way that's, you know, not secretive or hidden. So those particular places have been closed. I actually saw one of the mosques that got closed in France. They highlighted it while I was there in Paris, and, you know, showing us this particular mosque. This is, you know, on the trip, they were like, this is, you know, well-known mosque that we know that we've had several people who have committed acts of terror come from. You know, and I'm sitting there listening to this, and I'm thinking, why don't you do something about it? Yeah. That one just never ceases to blow my mind.
Oh, come on. I'm sorry.
I mean, they choose not to do things. That's just kind of surprising. All right. You know what kills me is that person who joined in and used those offensive racist words had a title of pastor. Not someone I would consider somebody worth listening to. Very small-minded. And, okay. Was that 500 for Hijra? Yeah, okay. Just trying to make sure I cross out the ones we used. All right, so we have, I'm going to pick Dawah Insanity. Whoever gets an idea, who wants to answer this one? Here we go. What verse do Dawah specialists avoid talking about when in front of survivors of terrorist events? All right, we'll try this again. This is a Tony Franklin. Let's see. And we're not going to allow anybody in at this point. Unless they, this is just sad. People apparently don't have much intelligence and they want to join. All right. What verse do Dawah specialists avoid talking about when in front of survivors of a terrorist event? So this one got me a few years ago, and I sat there thinking about it. Mosques will do something called Dawah 101. They'll invite people in from the community, and they'll talk to them about the greatness of Islam. But not once do they talk about this verse. And this is actually extremely important. If you were in New York City at 9:12, and you were in a mosque, there is no one in a mosque on 9:12 in this country who would have talked about this verse. Why? Because they would have shut down if it got out. If the American people heard this, they might have shut down the mosque. What is this verse? Quran 8:12. I will cast terror into the hearts of those who become infidels. So strike above their necks decapitation in every finger from them. So who's responsible for terrorism? It's not the it's their God Allah. Their God Allah is the creator of Islam, of this. So this is just sad.
Oh, you mean their God Muhammad, right? And his top puppet, Allah. You blaspheme. How dare you? Romney tries to bust Jesus all the time all over his pages. So, you know, tit for tat, ma'am. Tit for tat.
I mean, yeah, that's, again, Dragon, you're not wrong, too. Sir 929, exactly. They wouldn't talk about those. Yeah, they will not talk about, and they will, they won't. In fact, these are the verses they hide when we're talking about, we're going to get into some of those. I really didn't get into the topic of jihad as much as I wanted. And here we go. I keep having to ban people. This is just amazing today. So I'm apparently getting enough interest from fools, which is sad. And it's just like, can somebody ban Tony Blacks from the... Thank you. The sad thing is in StreamYard, we don't get to see the shutdown. All right. So let's go back. All right. We are on to, let's see. Let's take a look at Dawa. I'm going to pick just because I want to go on from this 200, Dawa Insanity. This imam, and everybody here should know this. This imam engaged in a debate to defend the morality of his prophet fondling a six-year-old girl and then having intercourse with her when she was nine, claiming she may not have been nine. Who are we talking about?
Bomber, Kitty Bomber.
Oh, who said that? Who was quick? Was that you, Darcy?
Connie.
Connie, okay. All right.
Team 5.
All right, and that's 200. Okay.
Woo-hoo.
All right.
That was too easy, Paul. We could have
all that's what I was saying. Everybody should have that one.
Yeah, everybody needs that
one. Okay, and I got to go back here just a second. Escape, and I'll put 200 for everybody in there. That's... There's no way you couldn't know that if you were helping out here. Kenny Bomber I just thought that was probably the most foolish act I've ever seen of Dawa.
Okay, Paul?
Yes.
You're going to have to turn that 5-minute membership on. We're getting a lot of spam in YouTube.
Okay, 5-minute membership, and I got to figure that part out. Just a second. And let me get to the, I have not gone into the YouTube yet, so let me get there. Bear with me a second. I don't think I have it. And I'm in the room, and we will just see. I haven't had to do that one yet. Okay, 5-minute membership. Oh, wow. Okay. So how do I turn on that membership? And that's something I actually don't know. Can you hear me? All right.
Yeah, the Dragon is kind of doing what you can.
Well, that's a lot of work. Thank you, Dragon. just kind of mind blown. Some people are just fools. All right. You know, the racists that are in here, it says something that these people are small minded. And, you know, when you talk about small minded people, you know, I think they have a lesser brain than a junior high student. And, you know, that says something. So we're talking maybe sixth grade at the highest education. Oh, well, you know, and I think that's being generous. So, Darcy, go ahead and pick one.
Okay. Ooh. How many in Hishra?
Hishra, we have the 200. We have the 400 in Hishra.
I'll do the 400 in
Hishra. Okay. You know, okay, it says, what one word do followers of Islam use to keep themselves separate? So this is something they do, and I'm just going to tell you, and something, it's an important word. What is the one word, and it's something they do to keep themselves separate so they do not get integrated into their new society. And this word is actually important. If you've read my last book, The Cancer of Civilization Jihad, it's in the book. So...
what is Sharia?
No, it's something that has to be done when they go on a Hijra. So it's something they do, and actually before they start the Hijra too. That's the other clue. And you know, when I started to do the research on the Hijra, and I'm finding this information out, I'm like kind of mind blown. I didn't expect that as a basically it's supposed to be a requirement before you go.
I got a hint, but I'll give it to Darcy, though.
Okay.
Papilla. I might just...
No.
No.
No? Think about what keeps you separate. Lying, not lying. Okay, that's... Okay, we're not talking about lying. We're not talking about deceiving. What keeps you separate?
What keeps you separate? I don't get it.
Okay.
Stump this.
All right.
Say it in a different way.
There we go. They organize. They organize to keep separate. So they have to. So they create their own schools. They create their own organizations. So their women never get a chance to meet any human beings other than other followers of Islam. And that becomes. So this is a. You know. This is the issue. And you know, when you start to look at some of these things. When I went into doing the research on the Hijra, I did not expect to learn those things. It really blew my mind. Still does when I think about it. All right. We are on to, I say that was the 400. We have, let's finish off the Hijra column with 200. All right. Okay, that we already did. Okay, so much for that one. All right, we're going to go back. I thought we didn't. Okay. So Hijra is done, and we did Allah Doesn't Know, and now we're down to Islamic Science. We have 400 and 500 left. Darcy or Connie, who's up for choice first? I don't remember, to be honest.
Connie, go ahead. Okay, let's
zoom in
here.
We have the
400. Scan the Quran for 100.
It's in the Quran. We are down to 300. You can go to the 300. All right.
Okay, yeah.
All right. What verse in the Quran will no Islamic scholar claim is easily understood? Now, this one, I know what it is.
Quran 1:1, the...
There's actually a lot. So pick. Okay, what were you just saying?
I think it's Quran 1:1, Elam Lam Marim.
Okay, there's one like that. Yeah, so I'm gonna give you the 300, but the one I picked, it's pretty much the same thing. I picked it for this reason. It's the same thing. They don't know what the word is.
It's a mystery. It's a miracle.
But isn't the Quran supposed to be clear?
Exactly.
How can the Quran be clear if there are words in the Quran that nobody understands? I'm talking about even translating from Arabic, which most of the Quran is not in Arabic. So if you don't know that, you need to know that. And come on. Escape. Oh, I'm pushing the wrong button. And the joy of getting back. So get to the screen, add the money. And let's see. That puts it up to 7. All right. Let me go back. All right. Here we go. Going on. We're at...
I need to correct myself because it's not Quran 1-1. It starts with Quran 2-1.
Okay.
If you go number-wise.
Yeah. So this is... there's a lot more verses. That's why I picked yes, that particular one. But the honest thing is a lot of Islamic scholars are afraid to comment on some of these verses because they're so messed up. when I look at the word alms there, that's a transliteration. It's not the word alms. and just like you're saying, there are words that nobody knows. They're not even necessarily words. I mean, so you have to wonder where it was. This is where I admit I'm along with one of the author of the book, The World's Most Notorious Prophet. I think he's right that Muhammad had temporal lobe seizures, and that would explain some of these things like we're talking about. Might explain some of his delusions. Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
all right. We are on to, let's see what that was. What was that one? It's in the Quran for 400, that was? All right, we're doing 300. Okay, let's do 400. We'll finish off that column this time. Okay, 400. What pre-Islamic men thought of Allah. Now, this one should surprise everybody. What do you think pre-Islamic men thought of Allah?
What is an idol?
And believe it or not,
they call him Allah. Did she get it?
Well, sorry, what?
Didn't they call him Allah still?
All right, here we go.
The pre-Islamic man?
It says, surely our fathers before partnered other gods with Allah. So before Muhammad came along, Allah had, you know, everybody thought Allah had partners. Yeah, you know, I'm like, what?
So how come Allah couldn't instruct them since he sent 124,000 prophets? How come he couldn't get people straight even way back when before Muhammad?
And that to
right?
me...
He failed.
Yeah. I saw this, again, it's only because I'm going through the Quran with Usama and Kufar. I saw this and I'm like, wait a minute. He's saying that and you're asking the correct question. What does that mean about his inabilities? This Allah is too small, is what it comes down to.
He can't guide. Yeah, he can't guide.
Can't.
He's a poor organization character.
So, and that's one of the reasons why his people have to organize, because he can't do it for them.
Yeah, when they organize, you know, death and destruction happens.
Yeah. I mean, some of these things are just humorous. So let's do the 500. It's in the Quran. All right. I think it's your turn, Darcy. You want to try this one? Allah created some for... It's in the Quran. So what do you think Allah... I'm sorry, what? Did you say hellfire?
Hellfire.
Oh!
Yeah.
There you go. 500. Okay. And indeed we have... This is the... Again, this is going through the Quran. I see these things and I'm sitting here laughing. This is this part that makes me laugh. Where in the Quran, I mean, is there any place in the Quran where Allah has love for those who don't know him? It's not there. Allah doesn't like anyone who doesn't know him. Or like, I shouldn't say not, it's not that they don't know him. It's that they have to be totally submissive to him. If you're not totally submissive to him, he wants to get rid of you. That says something. Like, wow. All right, so we'll go back to the scores, and I'll fix that up. And escape. So we can put that up. So Darcy is up to 900. All right. And we'll come back. All right. And the joy of doing everything. Okay, getting all this stuff out of the way. All right. We're going to go on to the next screen. And so that column's down. We have the 400 and 500 of Dawah Insanity. And I think that was Connie. You had the last one, or is it Darcy? No, Darcy had the last one. So Connie, we'll give you the, oops, I went to the wrong screen. Sorry. And all right, we will go back. That's the joy of technology. You can do some things on accident. All right.
Okay, I need to try catch up, so let me do the, I can't see it, but for 1,000. What's in the Quran? Yeah. It's in the Quran for, 500, excuse me.
Okay, we did the 500, so we're going
to go.
Dawah.
Okay, good. I like Dawah Insanity.
Dawah Insanity.
500, please, sir.
All right. What comes after Dawah?
Comes after Dawah?
Yeah.
The Shahada. Saying the Shahada, right? Or is it Jihad?
Oh.
They save you, then they attack you.
Yes, it's Jihad.
It is.
Oh, wow. Wow, I didn't know if you'd get it. All right, so we'll come back here. Wow.
I almost did.
I some of these things you sit there and you go, wait, how can we not know that information? You know, like, holy cow. All right. Come on. All right, so we get that up there. We are now up to, so I used to be able to, I had a program that allowed me to actually put these things, these scores, I could change them live on the screen. And something happened where it's, now what's going on? Here we go. All right. Where they changed the program and I can't do that live anymore. I have to come out of the live. So they changed Visual Basic over the years to make it so you couldn't do things. I'm guessing that so you couldn't hack it as much. I don't know. So now I have to come out, get out, and type it back in. All right. And
I have a suggestion, though.
Okay.
For you. You're wanting us to think of a word? Maybe give us the first letter.
Okay.
That way we know to put our head in the gutter with this one, or put half of our head in the gutter.
All right. I think we have the last one up here, I think, is actually Islamic Science 500. Okay. The scientific error of Allah creating light and darkness in Quran 6:1. It says, the praise be to Allah. This is just the wordiness. The praise be to Allah who created the heavens and the earth and made the darkness and the light. Then those who became infidels set up equals with their Lord. What is the scientific error of Quran 6:1? Allah created the heavens and the earth and made the darkness and the light. That's where I'm going to stop. That's the answer's right there.
Yeah, it's saying that these people set up also equals. So we're like creators with Allah.
Before that, stick before that. Yeah, stick before that. Or stick before that.
Allah who created the heavens and earth and made the darkness and the light.
So what is scientific error there?
Created the heavens and the earth and made the darkness and the light. Well, I really honestly don't get it. It doesn't sound like it's an order or something. Made the heavens and the earth and made the darkness and the light. I mean, well, God made light first. He made the heavens and the earth, and then he said, let there be light. So he made the darkness first, looks like.
Okay. So you're on the right track.
Okay.
All right.
No cookie, though, huh?
All right. Darkness is the absence of light.
There you go.
In the book of Genesis, God creates life. He never creates darkness. It's there. All right. Darkness is the void. All right. So this is the, and Derek Dragon, I wish you could have joined us. Yes, that would have, that you had it. You had it. Darkness is the absence of light. So that's, I look at that as the surprise, you know, and I saw that and I'm like, wait a minute. You know, when I look at Genesis, we never talk about creation of anything that way. So let's go to round two. So these are going to be kind of, let's stick with the first three columns mostly, because I don't think I really finished doing the mixed pot. But Islamic scholars, let's take a look at this. So who wants to pick first? Connie and Darcy?
Darcy.
Okay, Darcy, which one would you like? Oh, I'm the one who's supposed to know all the answers. If I'm gonna pick one, I'm gonna pick Muslim Brotherhood today, and then you're next, Darcy. All right, this should be an easy one. The first legal Muslim Brotherhood front group in the United States of America. It was created in 1963, and it starts with M. I'll give the initials.
Legal Muslim. Okay.
I'll give the initials. MSA.
I guess it's got to be Muslim something association, I guess.
Those are correct words. Then you got to get the middle one.
And it was S, right?
Yep. Yes.
S. Sharia.
All right.
I don't know. I have no clue.
It's the Muslim Student Association.
Oh, they're students now.
So in 1963, the Muslim Brotherhood members created the first Muslim Student Association. And this is in Champaign, Illinois, the University of Illinois, Champaign, I guess the right terminology. And this is what I found interesting. Those people who came and established this, they got into this country. These are college professors that helped create this. This is where, and then they got Muslim students. And a lot of the students who came weren't necessarily legally here because they came through Canada. And I say not necessarily, because they came from countries that were banned from coming at that present time. So they had to go to Canada, become Canadian citizens after 3 years, and then come claiming they were Canadian citizens. So
wow,
that's... Yeah. When I learn those things, it still bugs me. It really bugs me to think that that's how things happen. We were foolish. There was something in our national security that wasn't paying attention.
What year did they do this? Did they come in?
They came in the late 50s.
Late 50s.
And I'm saying for the college professors. And the college professors and the students, and this is 1963, it starts. So they started to establish themselves as professors, late 50s, early 60s. So we got about 1963. This is when things start to come to a head, and they create that Muslim Student Association. And it's become, now there are so many Muslim student associations now. They're in almost every state school. And in some state colleges and universities, they have refused to allow that organization to exist. So what happens is they create another organization with a similar title, and the school may also insist they have no relations with the MSA. Now I've actually seen that happen when I was doing research on this at least 10 years ago, which I found interesting. Now there was a trick with one of those organizations that changed the name. They got kind of caught because they went to a major MSA event. It wasn't sponsored as supposedly by MSA, but all the speakers were part of MSA. And they didn't, I mean, it was like a, we're not advertising who we are type thing. All right, Darcy, you're up. Islamic scholars, racism, or MB today?
Islamic scholars for 200.
All right. This Islamic scholar trained in the United States, then went back to Egypt. He was arrested and wrote one of his books, Every Jihadi Loves. And his first name starts with S and his last name starts with Q. Now, anybody who studies the Muslim, he's a Muslim Brotherhood guy. And this part, the part of him coming to the United States kind of surprised me when I was looking into him. So when you actually study the Muslim Brotherhood, you can't avoid him. And that is Sayyid Qutba. And he wrote the book called Milestones, which is, you know, it's, this is actually the, this is Dr. Stephen, I guess it's doctor now, Major Stephen Coughlin actually caught this, that this book that written by Sayyid Qutba, Milestones, is actually the threat doctrine of the Muslim Brotherhood against the world. And that is, when you're a military guy, you want to know your enemy. You have to know what makes him threatening. You have to know what gets him going. You have to know what gets, you know, where is the threat? Where, what is, what defines who he or she is in that respect? And how do you know he's going from stage A to stage B? I mean, where are they allowed to be? And that book, Milestones, does that. And you can watch I did a video on this. You can go look back on the threat doctrine of the Muslim Brotherhood, and I give all the credit to Stephen Coughlin. He's the guy who caught this, and I tell you, that is extremely important, and I think every national security expert and every American should be watching that and get disgusted at our current national security experts who are doing nothing. All right. And we're going back. We're at round two. Connie.
You know, that just tells me that, you know, what Jesus said is, you know, they're not coming to the light because they love darkness, they love their evil deeds. And so they're just in bed with Islam because they love the filthiness of it and they don't have to come to the light. They're in bed with Islam.
And that's the horrible, awful truth. A dragon put it right. It says, Assyrd 9:29, fight those who don't believe in Allah and last days. And she writes, Catalu means kill. That's enough to know what is their goal. Yes. Okay. Go ahead, Connie. You pick.
Okay. What was MB? Is that Muslim Brotherhood?
Brotherhood Today. Yeah. So 200 is gone and Islamic Scholars is gone for 200.
I don't know much about that, but let's just go for it so we can learn. So 200 for MB Today.
Oh, we did 200, so we're going to 400. All right.
Awesome.
This group is widely known amongst those in the know as Hamas in America. This is probably one of the most popular, well-known Islamic groups in the country today.
Hamas in America.
Yep.
What does it start with? May I? It
starts with a C.
C. Oh, come on. You know what?
In fact, it's easier than you think about because they're known by their acronym more than they're known for the whole word, the whole title. And I don't like the way that word sounds because I don't think they actually do. That's my biggest clue.
Boy, I draw a blank right now.
Go ahead, Darcy. Do you get it?
Come on, Darcy.
Yes, oh,
man,
yes,
man.
Yes. It is care. Yes.
Man.
Yeah. Council on American Islam. Yeah. They don't care is my statement on this. Yes.
Yeah, didn't Obama bring them into the White House?
Oh, he not only brought them in the White House, it was a regular. And that's one of the things that disgusts me.
What are they doing now? They flourishing more under Biden?
Oh, Biden has flourishing is an understatement, unfortunately. It is beyond flourish, and that is the sad, sorry truth. It goes a lot, it's a lot worse than that. I wish it wasn't.
When Trump was in office, he
there was a little bit of oppression in that effect. All right. So we're back to round two. And I just dropped my pen just a second here. All right. Now we are on to, and I'm going to pick racism since you two picked. Let's go to, and here we go. Racism for 200. All right. So, all right.
Man, this is awesome.
All right. So, what did Islam, here we go. Take a you can gamble as many points as you want. And then I'll tell us how many you want to gamble, and then we don't want for both of you. Just put tell me what you would like, and if you both get it, you both get the amount.
500
for you, Darcy.
Half of whatever I have.
Okay, so you have 1,300, so 650. Okay.
Yeah.
Six? Okay, six. All right, so here we go. You ready? What did Islam's messenger Muhammad call black people?
Brazen heads, slaves. Brazen heads.
Do you agree, Darcy? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Guess what?
The devils.
It's exactly what Muhammad said. Brazen heads. So you both get... Oh, so just remind me when I'm going to be setting that score up in a second. Yeah, and this is from Bukhari. Yeah, again, the hadiths are where Muhammad's called the prophet. It's not the Quran. It says, listen, obey your chief, even if an Ethiopian whose head is like a raisin were made your chief. Again, that's from Bukhari, Book 11, Hadith 662. It's not something I made up. Again, we go to Book 11, 664. It says, narrated. Anas bin Malik, the prophet, said to Abu Dar, listen, obey your chief, even if he is an Ethiopian with a head like a raisin. Yeah.
And it doesn't even make any sense because Allah didn't like the black race. He said they can go to hell and I don't care.
Yeah, and that's just, mm-hmm. I look at that and I'm like, how can you say those things? I mean, today you get fired for saying such a thing.
The way they did their hair, do the hair, it's so beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Yeah. I think we're tied because I think you said 700, right, Connie?
No, sir, I said 500.
500, okay. So 1,700, okay. All right, and come back and put that back up. All right. All right. Going back to round two. See if I can do it from here. All right. All right, Connie, your pick.
Okay, let's see. Mixed questions for what can I choose?
We'll try 200 at the most. We'll do the mixed pot because I'm not sure if I got the mix.
Okay.
All right. And no, we're going to have to skip that one. We'll have to come. Let's do the first three columns. I'm sorry, guys. This is my joy of
$200 again.
Yeah. This is the joy of trying to get things right and not. Oh, what did I do there? Cancel. What did I do?
This is fun.
All right. Well, this is one of the reasons I like teaching this way. It was just fun. Mm-hmm. I use this as my review process when I taught, and we had a lot of fun with it. All right, let me just get to round two. All right, round two. So we'll just pick the first three columns. So we had racism done. We've done Islamic scholars for two. We've done Muslim Brotherhoods 200 and 400. We did racism. And okay. So we're up to 400 I think 400 is where we're at for Islamic scholars, and we're at 400 for racism, I guess. So let's pick out of these three. You can have each one is the 400 column is available except for Muslim Brotherhood today.
Is it still open for mixed questions?
No, let's leave that one alone because apparently I've made a mistake. Let me check. Let me check. I'll double check that. All right. Nope, that's still my old math, old one. Sorry. Yeah, I'm going back and fixing this from my last when I taught history. All right. First three columns. Okay. Islamic scholars, racism, or we're going down to 600 in Muslim Brotherhood today.
Muslim Brotherhood today, or 600. Whatever I can choose.
Okay. It is stated that this group is widely known as the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States of America by Muslims stating everyone knows. Now, the biggest clue I can give you is they did something in Boston that upset a lot of people.
So they say it. This group is widely known as the Muslim Brotherhood in the U.S. by Muslims stating everyone knows. What, Islam is peace?
No. It's the name of the group. It's just the name of the group that you're looking for. And the first initial to help everybody is M. Mm-hmm. So it's three letters. The acronym is three letters. And the first starts with M, and the last one starts with S. And I'll give the last one if you can think it out.
No, I'm very ignorant when it comes to their organization group name.
Okay, so this organization is called the Muslim American Society. Now, Muslim American Society is they held a big event and they were talking about killing Jews with children singing in it was Philadelphia. I think it was Philadelphia they were singing. And I have a lot of good friends, and my friend Len actually wrote an article about this, and it's his community where this took place, and he followed through and did some follow-up on it. And what bothered him the most was the town, the local community did nothing. Okay, so if you do hate speech, you get arrested. But if you're Islamic and you do this hate speech and it gets aired, I mean, they said they were concerned. They said they were going to do something to make sure it didn't happen. They never did. And they don't talk about this. And the reason why Muslim American Society is so well known is because, again, it existed before CARE. Muslim American Society was one of the predominant organizations in the United States that even today you'll find it in a lot of mosques. You'll find it utilized whenever Muslim American Society has a meeting. You can guarantee that prominent members of the Muslim Brotherhood from all over the world will be there. All right. Sorry. And that's the next one. So we're going to – Darcy, you mind if I pick the next one for you?
Go ahead.
Okay, so I already pulled this up. And I'll give the big – this organization pays colleges to create Islamic chairs. Now, if you hear me talk on the original reason why I got into this, I mention this group all the time. And, who is the Facebook user? Oh, wow, they got it. I don't know who the Facebook user is. All I can say, I can't see your name. If you want, I'm impressed. I'm going to put that up. I'm impressed. Wow. That was not something I expected anybody to get. Does anybody know, you see the three I's there? They call themselves triple IT. Do you know what that word, what the words are that go with that? Does anybody know?
I knew it last week.
I'm impressed with a Facebook user. You know what?
Right.
It's on cash. If this is my friend Todd, I don't know. I'm impressed. Somebody got it. I'm impressed. Okay. Triple IT, the International Institute of Islamic Thought. Wow. The International Institute of Islamic Thought will pay your college to install an Islamic chair. they go through and they, you know, they'll do it by sponsoring a grant to an interfaith movement in your local mosque, your local whatever. And that is just, yeah, a dragon. They call themselves Triple IT. So the International Institute of Islamic Thought. And this organization is responsible for that word that we all hate, Islamophobia. This is the creator of that term. Their purpose was to shut down the discussions on what Islam actually is and what it's about. So Triple IT is the creator of the word Islamophobia. Yes. Well done. Well done, Facebook user. I wish I could see your name. It doesn't show me from where I'm broadcasting. Well done. This organization is beyond dangerous in my mind, the connection. So here's what I mean by beyond dangerous. When ABC wanted an interview with bin Laden after the bombing of the Kohl, guess where they went? Triple IT. Oh, and guess who? You know, somebody took them straight to bin Laden. They were right. They got straight to bin Laden. And the guy took with him a satellite phone battery pack that was used in the bombing of our embassies in Tanzania and Kenya.
Yeah, they all know what's going on and keeping us kind of in the dark, but not really.
They're located, their central location in the United States was, if I'm trying to remember the exact, I think it was McLean, Virginia, was where they were located. I'm not sure if they are still
Virginia.
There. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was McLean, Virginia. I'd have to go back. It's been a number of years since I've checked and updated, but that was where they were located. This is an organization that was tied to Hamas, that was tied to Palestinian Islamic Jihad, it was tied to Al-Qaeda. I mean,
Come on into America, right? Come on in.
Well, this is what bothered me the most when I started looking, when I started my research on this, I really was a know-nothing. And I had a lot of problems doing this research. I couldn't figure out how to organize it because every time I found a relationship, all I did was I drew arrows, all right? And because it was just – there were so many relationships with these people. So what I did was I made the arrows red if there were relationships with terrorist groups. I made the relationships green if they were relationships with Muslim Brotherhood guys. And the guy who was in charge back then, his name was Jamal Barzinji. He was the VP. So in Islamic organizations, the VP is often the real head honcho. And Jamal Barzinji was considered the head of the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States. David Galbitz actually came to the same conclusion that I did, and I was fascinated. I mean, how did you come to this? He couldn't tell me exactly how. I mean, because he has to protect the material he has. So I sent him my research, and this is before I took any classes in intelligence analysis. I wanted to learn more about how to do the job better. And counterterrorism and law enforcement, yeah, you're on the right track. Yeah. Barzinji's dead. He was dead. He's been dead for about 5 years now. So it's the people that replaced him that are now concerned. Barzinji's been dead, I guess it's about 5 years now, yeah. I was surprised when I started to look at who Barzinji was. The connections to Hamas, the connections to Al-Qaeda, the connections to PIJ. You can think of all these terrorist organizations. He had those connections. So what I did was actually called social networking analysis. And anybody who wants a copy of that, I'll tell you, I'll give you my – if you're on Facebook and you want a copy of that, it's a huge PDF file. You'll have to blow it up to see it properly. If you print it out, I warn you, it'll take you – about 50 some odd pages, and a lot of them will be white. And I'll apologize for that. I took it to a larger platform so I could see it better. So the source that I use for this to create this file is a little bit unusual. It's made for me to add a lot more. It has some mosques involved in there. But Jamal Barzinji was the head. That's from what I could see. And it still impresses me that somehow I came to the same conclusion that David Galbitz did, and he's former, his his intelligence was just, it just blew my mind that I was close. I know, not only close, but I was accurate. When he said that in his book, Muslim Mafia, I just sat there and laughed. I'm reading that book. I'm like, how did I? Yes. Yeah. So yeah. My mistake, Jamal Brzezinski was a Kurdish American Muslim and associated with, And the Star Foundation, again, World Assembly of Muslim Youth, they call it the acronym, WAMI. These are all Muslim Brotherhood groups. The Saar Foundation was caught financing terrorism. So it disappears. Yet the funny thing is, when you go to the site, they brag about it. And where did it go, this money? It went to the Isle of Man, and then it disappears. What's the Isle of Man known for? Being a place where money like that disappears. And that's just kind of mind-numbing. All right, we are, Darcy.
I've got a question. How many of these organizations are popping up every year in America?
I don't know about how many pop up, but I do know that we have listed about between 50 and 60 organizations that are currently, it may be higher, maybe closer to 100. My last count was in the 60s. I haven't been tracing like I should. I haven't been keeping up.
How much they're growing, you know, because they do little by little. You know, maybe three this year, maybe four next year, maybe three the next year, maybe 10 the next year. We keep our eyes closed.
Well, the thing, so right now I would say the big group we need to watch, and Darcy and Dragon are asking important questions. There is an umbrella group, and if the I got to think about the name of it now. Now I'm saying that the umbrella group, which was including the Black Muslim group, and I sit there and I still laugh at how the Sunnis and this accept them. When you look at these groups and they get all together, that's where you start to think scary. There's the Muslim Public Affairs Council. Under Obama, the guys who were leading the Muslim Public Affairs Council were there almost every day of his presidency. There were members of ISNA, the Islamic Society of North America. I got to be quiet. I'm giving out answers. I almost gave out an answer to a question. All right. Let's pick another one here and go on, and then I can answer some more on that. All right. So we have the two 400s on Islamic scholars and racism. And is it Darcy or Connie up now? Okay, Connie, 400, 400 for Islamic scholars or racism?
Racism, I guess. I don't know anything about the scholars.
The scholars are a little hard. I wanted to pick something harder just in case some of the other guys came. All right. What racist word do Arabs use to refer to Black people today? It's an Arabic word. That's my closest thing I can give you. You know, and I'll be honest, when I heard this, I was just shocked. I was floored. I mean,
it's in your book. I missed it.
It's in there. It's in there. And I have to thank Usama Dakdak for this knowledge, because when I heard this, I just like, if we did this today, you wouldn't have a job. Facebook user has it. Abd. Wow. Somebody pays attention. All right, let me get that up there. Wow. Slave. They refer, I mean, they'll call Black people this word. Even today.
Wow, so they're calling them slaves.
Yeah, and in general.
Muhammad freed the slaves, right?
Oh, and I've never, he had too many, he had as many Blacks. I gotta be careful because I'm gonna give away some of my questions. But this man loves slaves. Muhammad loves slaves. Wow. So the Facebook user, we gotta get you on. If you are on through Sutliffian Report. I think there's a clue in there for there's a link to the StreamYard. If you want, you can join us that way. That's impressive. All right. So I'm going to go back to the scores, and we'll go back to round two. And I did not pick a final Jeopardy question. I apologize. Okay. Darcy, did you want Islamic scholars for 400, or do you want to do racism for 600?
I'll do the Islamic scholars.
All right.
400.
Okay. This guy created the International Union of Islamic Scholars. So some clues here. He is forbidden to enter the United States. He is forbidden to enter most countries in Europe. And he centered a lot of his work out of Qatar. And this is the this is another Muslim Brotherhood network. And they gather every year. And some of you may know this name. Does anybody know his name? International Union of Islamic Scholars. Yeah, we book user, we did talk about raising head in that statement earlier as part of racism. Yeah. Okay. So here's the answer. Nobody got it? Nobody's got it?
No.
Okay.
I can't let him back tonight.
Okay. This guy is okay. So this guy is more evil. Yusuf al-Qaradawi. You can go to memory.org and you can find a lot of his statements of evil. I also recommend going to the investigativeproject.org. They have a profile on him. Some of them are a little out of date with him. And again, he's forbidden from entering this country. And that's, again, it's just, he's okay with killing our soldiers through suicide missions. That's why he's not allowed here. If Hillary was allowed to become president, she probably would have let him come. There's a couple people she wanted to allow to come.
Oh, wow.
She wanted to allow one guy to come, and I was trying to find my reference to that. On someplace I did a video. If you want to do a search on YouTube, you'll find a video out there. President Hillary is the end of national security. There's a YouTube out there that I did on that. And she was actually trying to bring in somebody who was banned by the United States. She was trying to bring them in while she was Secretary of State. And he was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood and had connections to terrorism. And he was too dangerous. But she wanted to bring him here. So that's kind of, yeah, he was. Yeah, yes, correct, the Facebook user. Yes, he was also Bin Laden's second in charge at one point. So this is.
To what end would Hillary be going? Oh, yeah, come on in here, terrorists.
Well, she's if we look at this as Obama's second, his third term, if we look at this as Obama's third term, he and Hillary were pretty much in agreement. They wanted to, from what we see, they really wanted to destroy America. We can simply look at the gas prices. In New York State, the prices haven't yet reached $5 a gallon. I don't know how bad it is where you are, Darcy.
Yeah, it's getting close.
What about where you are, Connie? Has it hit $5 a gallon yet?
I never say where I am, so I'm not going to say.
Okay.
What's the price?
But yeah, it's the price.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that.
Okay, it's like four. I think I heard like $4.50, and I'm in New York. So I saw this week, which blew my mind. Somebody sent me a picture from California, and it was $6.08. I think it was. I'm like, whoa.
In California? Isn't it like $8 in some places in California?
I honestly don't know. The reason why, here's the real reason why the gas is low in New York State. The New York State Senate and Assembly decided to take the tax off. So that blew my mind. I mean, again, I don't drive right now, so I have to ask people the prices of gas. Somebody said, yeah, so here we go. And, yeah, so somebody paid $4.71. And I look at that as if that was their goal. And if that's their goal, it's not to make America great. And Barack Obama decided that when he was running for office, his goal, he said it when he was running for office the first time, one of his goals was to make Americans pay for gas what they're paying in Europe, which was the equivalent of $5 a gallon. And he is working his butt off still on that one. All right, we are up to...
To what end?
That's a good question. Because I don't...
No, we're not there.
Yeah. I don't understand the purpose in some of these things, but that's where they're at. Did we do 400 in racism yet? Let's see. 400 racism. Yeah, we did that. Okay, I just want to check that one off. All right. We did OBD. That was OBD. Okay. And come back. And go back to round two. Sorry, jumping through the hoops. All right, so we're on, so you can either do 600 for these three, Islamic scholars and racism and MB today. Is it? I think it's you, Darcy. Are you up? Or is it Connie? I can't remember which one.
It's Connie now.
Connie. Okay, which one would you like, Connie?
Okay, let's do the first column for 600.
Okay. This well-known Muslim Brotherhood member is called an Islamic scholar. But women may know of him because he was accused of at least 5 rapes. By the way, this is the man that Hillary tried to let into the country.
No clue on his name.
His first name starts with T. His last name starts with R. And he was in the news a lot a couple of years ago. And... this is Tariq Ramadan. He's supposed...
His last name is Ramadan?
Yeah. And he's supposed to be like the grandson or a relation to Hassan al-Banna. So that's his claim to fame. So people... He's Muslim Brotherhood concept of royalty. Yes.
Can you read that question again?
Okay, this well-known Muslim Brotherhood member is called an Islamic scholar, but women may know of him because he was accused of at least 5 rapes.
And where is this man out now?
He's now out of jail.
He's in America or where?
He was in France when he was locked up. I think he may have gone back to either Denmark or... I think he went back to Denmark. I'm not sure of exactly where he is now. He was trying to keep a low profile for a while. And, wow, we have somebody who gets it. He's an interfaith specialist. He's a good Dawa guy. He lies really well. But when you let him – Eric would love this guy because he always hangs himself. And so this is the thing. He would invite women to a meeting, and a private meeting. And the story goes that he would take advances on them. And one of the reasons why they originally let him out of prison, because he was claiming he had Parkinson's. I'm not saying he does or doesn't, but it does to me. It doesn't matter what your medical condition are if you're guilty of this crime or you're suspected of this particular crime of rape. I don't know how I would feel as a relative or a father or even if I was the victim of this kind of a crime, of your being free. I mean, this is where my ethics may conflict with what is right and wrong. I do believe there are people out there making false accusations. So,
sure.
Yeah, I run into it. This guy's right. So I'm going to put this up. This is the stuff that actually the accusations held. All of the they were consistent. Him and Bill Cosby used roof. I don't know about together. That's what a roommate was. But I do know that there were rumors about the roofie with Tariq Ramadan. There was a rumor. I never saw the court cases come out. And I don't think that this is the problem I had with this court case. It never was publicized. So he could have bought his way out. I don't know. I mean, that's a possibility. it sounds like the, they dropped everything. And there was five. There was five separate cases, and that's what bothers me the most. All right, when you drop cases, then it's a problem. All right, I'm going to round two again.
Yeah, it sounds like corruption in the high places.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to do racism. We're running out of time. I didn't think we'd take this long. Muhammad sold two to buy one.
Two slaves to buy. Two slaves to buy one.
Yeah, we're close.
Two black slaves.
Two black slaves to buy one.
To buy one black slave.
No, to buy one white slave.
Ooh.
Yeah. And this is we talk about racism. This is Muhammad valuing black people as less than a white person.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, what hadith is that?
Let me see if I've got it here. Here we go. Sahih Muslim. Jabir Allah, Jabir reported, there came a slave and pledged allegiance to Allah's apostle. On migration, he did not know that he was a slave. Then came his master and demanded him back, whereupon Allah's apostle said, sell him to me. And he bought him for two black slaves. So he judged this guy based on his white skin as not being a slave. Then said, sell him to me. And he bought him for two black slaves. And he did not. I'm sorry.
So does it say that there's a background? I'm like echoing.
There's an echo.
All right.
Yeah, let me leave and come back.
No, that could be me. All right. Here we go. Is that better?
Still there.
Okay. Okay. And she's back. I just got to put her in. All right.
Testing.
All right. Is that better?
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay. So where does it say the first guy was a white guy, though?
There's other hadiths that say it in Bukhari as well. I only picked this one. But, again, he judged this guy based on his skin color is the thing that also gets me. So this talks about prejudging. You can hear an echo. Uh-oh. The person who had – oh, now it's okay. Okay, all right, okay. All right.
Wow, that's so sad, man.
Yeah. You know, I work in an environment where most of the students are not white, is my best way to put it. All right.
Now, as far as all these stories go with the Hadith and all this, does history – prove this out as well, like that one instance. It's proving these hadiths out.
So as I did research on racism, this is the part that killed me. On a Sunni Islamic site, I found a discussion about the amount of racism within Sunni Islam. And I was just kind of... And in the same discussion under Shiite Islam, written in the same year I did the research. I'm like, wow. I mean, so Muslims are actually talking about the amount of racism within Islam against black people. So that's quite a statement. It's not a dead discussion. It's actually being discussed. So the concept of racism against black people within Islam is an actual discussion that's constantly going on. And so they recognize that it exists. It's something they keep talking about. However, it is evident within Islam, within the Arab community in particular, that's how they treat black people as slaves. And it's even using that word when they talk to black people, using the word abd, and there's another word for black. They could choose it.
So are they talking about it, saying that, yes, it's of Islam, or talking about it to try to resolve it?
It's both.
Take it away.
So you're asking the right question. It's actually both. But in order to do that, you have to condemn the prophet, the person they call prophet. And they can't do that. The timing of the video. Okay, I'm not too worried. The time delay, I've seen that before. It doesn't matter. All right, let's go into, I think MB today is 800. The organization, we did that one, all right. All right, next one. Adult organization for past members of the Muslim Student Association. Does anybody know this one? You grow up, you're no longer part of the Muslim Student Association because you graduated from college or grad school. Okay, you're done with college. Where? What organization do you become a part of after you leave the MSA?
Workforce or something?
No, this is an actual Islamic organization. The first word is I. It starts with I, and the last one starts with A. Nope. It's there's four letters. The first one is I, and the last one is A.
Idea.
The first word is Islamic. I'll give that the clue.
Initiation? I don't know.
No, the first word is Islamic. So then you have
Islamic Institute for Adults.
I'll give you the next letter. The first letter of the second one is S. IS, yeah. Islamics. Islamic Society of North America. Yeah. So ISNA. ISNA. ISNA is, that's where they tend to join. Now, a lot of mosques actually are financed by ISNA through NATE, the North American Islamic Trust. So a lot of mosques exist and are owned by the Muslim Brotherhood because they're financed by NATE. And NATE is part of or has some affiliation with ISNA. We had under Obama, we had a person who was on the advisory council to ISNA working in the executive office of the White House.
That's Obama, you said?
Yes. Yes. So this information is kind of shocking when you look at it. And we'll finish this up in a few seconds. Down to 90 on the radio show. Wow. All right. I figured it'd be a different way to do things too. I didn't know how it would be fun or what. I was really confused about where we would go with this. All right. Islamic scholars. This is one I didn't expect to get. This Islamic scholar, a president of Zaytuna College in Berkeley, California. This is the one that bothers me. Blamed pornography for the proliferation of jihadi violence during a Georgetown University panel in 2014. Doesn't this sound like a guy who's really sick? He's blaming pornography for jihadis doing what the Quran tells them to do.
Oh my goodness, yes, that is.
And I don't expect anyone to get this. I saw this and I added it in, it got me, it kind of stopped me. And this is a guy named Hamza Yusuf. And he's called an Islamic scholar. Like,
where is he at?
He's at Berkeley. Berkeley, California.
Oh, so it's in California.
Yeah. So this is just kinda mind numbing. And you're Hatem Bazian, I would have thought of that too. Well, on Facebook because you stay up on things. Well done. Hatem Bazian, when I first saw this statement, if I didn't know if I hadn't had the person's name, that was my first thought. Hatem Bazian started the SJP. Now, the SJP is the Students for Justice in Palestine. He has direct relations with Hamas. Now, let me ask you this. If you are working for the National Security Agency, or you are working for immigration in any manner, and you have someone come to the country with relations with a known terrorist entity, a declared terrorist entity, would you be taking some kind of action when they start to teach at a college? The answer.
Let them in my country for the first thing.
Yeah, well, see, you're on the right track of that. And so here's my biggest issue. They allowed this man to become an influential person to start a movement while having recognized connections. All right, recognized connections. They have to at least recognize that these are real connections. This is the stuff that bothers me. So the SJP is the ones that started the BDS movement in the United States, the boycott, divestment, to boycott the Jewish people
of Israel. And this is, when you look at this, this is a problem.
And so I want to say thank you. I can't see your name. This is a lot. There's a lot of information on these people, and it's just, I'm just come out of this. A lot of this is information that's out there. It's shocking. I don't know how to get all the information out, except for that information is in predominantly my second book, Civilization, Jihad, and the Myth of Modern Islam. If you choose to pick that one up, you can go to my blog, paulsutliff.blogspot.com. Go down back a few articles and you'll find a way to order that book. It has to come from me. I do not, if you're going to try and buy it on Amazon, I'm going to sell it for, I think I have it up for $17 or maybe less. If you find it on Amazon, it can be as high. The highest I've seen it on Amazon was $800.
Those like that. I think it's stupid. They either made a mistake or something.
No. The purpose was the day that book came out, that was sold for $300 to keep people from buying my book. My publisher had to contact Amazon and say they don't have a copy because we haven't released one yet. Yeah. So those are things that you have to deal with when they don't want you to have that information out there. This is crazy. So I want to say thank you, Connie and Darcy. You have been outstanding. And Dragon, thank you. And Ms. Facebook out there, thank you for helping. You know, the goal is to get the truth out and to share. And this was just a fun way to talk about things that we should be aware of. And I just want to say God bless you all for being here. And hopefully we'll get to be able to share this message out and a fun way. And I owe Eric for showing me that this could be done in this format. Well, thank you all.
Thank you.
God bless everybody.
God bless you.
All right.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you, Darcy. You're very faithful. Thank you. All right.
You're welcome.
Some things are just fun. Okay.